what I would share with you, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning by asking how many of you have seen or know about Hagar the Horrible? Hands up, anybody? Oh, yeah, some of you have seen him. That's good. Okay. It's one of the cartoon strips that appears regularly in newspapers all across the country, including the Prince Albert Daily Herald, by the way. I ask that because it came as a surprise to me this week to find out that it doesn't appear in the Star Phoenix. It might have at one time, but it doesn't anymore. That's your loss. Your loss, I say, because it's one of those strips that I read regularly, and it's one of my favorites. Now, for those of you who don't know Hagar or haven't seen him, Hagar is a Viking, an overweight, somewhat lazy, good-natured individual, despite his nickname, the Horrible. He enjoys eating, drinking beer, sacking English towns, you know, the usual Viking things. Now, in one particular strip, Hagar is having a conversation with a monk. In the first frame of the strip, the monk, complete with a Bible tucked under his arm and wearing an expression of peace and contentment on his face, says to Hagar, "Remember, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness." In the next frame, we see the monk walking away up the road and over the hill, Hagar watching him go. Then in the final frame, Hagar is looking out as though at the audience, the readers, as if to make eye contact with them, and then he says, "But I enjoy cursing the darkness." How many of you are like that? How often are we like Hagar? How many of us enjoy cursing the darkness? Or perhaps to put it another way, how many of us would rather complain about what's wrong than add to what's right? How many of us prefer to expend emotional energy feeling sad or upset or angry about what's going on around us rather than investing that energy to make a positive change in what's happening? How many of us will put ourselves out to cast stones and criticize what is, rather than strive to gather up those stones and use them to build a new and better thing? You may think the question's silly, the answer's obvious, that no sane or reasonable person would want to feel upset or angry. On the other hand, perhaps we're not as sane or reasonable as we might be, or would like to think we are. Advent. Advent and Christmas are, for many of us, strange times of the year. A time in which, as we prepare for the coming of the Son of God, we often feel down, disappointed, anxious. For many, it's often a time of despair rather than a time of joy. A time for fretting and worrying, and often a time for driving others absolutely crazy. You know, it really is amazing. As we anticipate the coming annual celebration of our Lord's first advent, as we look forward to Christmas, to the candles and carols, to reading again that ancient story of the first Christmas night, I'm increasingly aware of the growing number of Grinches grumbling around me. There have been times I've been accused of being one myself, but that's for another day. I'm aware of the Grinches around me, the great number of people who grouse and complain about how Christmas is corrupt, how our songs have been stolen, our gift-giving cheapened, our hopes made trivial, and our dreams destroyed. I'm amazed by the mounting volume of voices of cynicism surrounding us, by the clamor of people telling us it's just not the way it used to be, how Christmas has become little more than a season saluting commercial greed and consumer gluttony. What was once and is supposed to be a time of faith, hope, love, and joy has become little more than a time of mean-spirited, selfish indulgence, pessimism, and despair. Whatever became of our faith, friends? Whence disappeared our conviction? Where is our sense that indeed God has come to us in Jesus, and that with his advent there arrived in the world a light that overcame the power of darkness? Or do we actually, perversely, enjoy cursing the darkness? Would we rather do that than take delight in lighting a candle? This is the season of good news, of anticipation, the season of preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord, the season of celebration, of rejoicing, of praising God for what God has done and what God is doing and what God will yet do. But is that plainly evident? Does it show? Can people look at us and say, yes, something special is happening. Something good is going on. Most every year around Christmas time, a part of me decides to get all self-righteous and cry out with John the Baptist and Isaiah the prophet. I want to cry out with them, get with it, people. Get an attitude. Take a look around you and see what's really happening. Prepare ye the way for God. Look for his coming in power. Make his paths straight. Know that the time of vindication and peace is at hand. Rejoice and be glad. For while there is darkness in the world, there is also light. And the light is stronger than the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. That's what I feel like saying. I want to echo the words of John and Isaiah. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Be comforted. Take comfort, my people. The Lord comes with might. His arm rules for him. He brings with him the rewards he will dispense, and his recompense goes before him. That's what I'd like to say. That's what I'd like to remind people of. Remind them that he has promised he will feed his sheep like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them cradled in his arms. Take a good look around and notice what's really, really happening. There is so much good around us. There is so much power and righteousness at hand. But what does the monk say to Hagar? It's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. My friends, we've been given a candle. A candle has been provided as it was promised. A light has been granted unto the world, and its power is utterly unquenchable. So what are we doing? Are we letting the enemy win? Are we cursing the darkness rather than lighting a candle? Are we dithering rather than preparing the way of the Lord? Think of the good news. Get an attitude. Prepare the way of the Lord. Celebrate the good news instead of cursing the bad news. Do you really want good news? You won't find it at 6 and 11. The other stuff seems to play much better. If you really want good news, take a look around you for what truly is good. Look for God, and you will find God. Look for God, and you will see that not only is God coming, God's already here. How else can you account for mothers who feed their children before they feed themselves? How else can you explain the men and women who spend their spare time in lodges and fraternities, service clubs, sororities, and societies dedicated to helping others? How else can you account for the little ones who unreservedly hug and play with their neighbors, giving no thought to differences of race, creed, economic or social standing? How else can you account for what keeps the food banks going year after year? What explains the tenderness of a young married couple? And the same devotion between those who've been married for decades? What makes sense of the feelings that come to us when a newborn is placed in our arms? Or we see a baby take her first steps? Or a son or daughter walks proudly down the aisle, having collected a college or university diploma? Or having just pledged lifelong commitment to another person? Friends, Advent is about preparing for the coming of the Lord. But you know that getting ready is not just celebrating the arrival of one whose first coming happened 2 millennia ago. Nor is it limited to preparation for a future return of that same promised one. No, it's also all about being open to the God who is already with us. It's about being open to the here and now presence of the Prince of Peace, the one who first came to us as a babe in Bethlehem, and who, after his resurrection, ascended to be our Lord in heaven. So, are we prepared? Are we genuinely open? Fred Craddock, who's a well-known preacher and Bible scholar, tells a story about a young minister. A young minister who went to a hospital to visit an elderly lady who was very, very sick. He entered the room and saw her lying on the bed, gasping for breath. He decided to remain for just a short visit so as not to tire her out. He asked her, "Would you like me to pray for you?" She nodded, "Yes." "What would you like me to pray?" "I want you to pray that I will be made well, that God will give me health." Now, although he knew her condition was critical, the young preacher acceded to her wishes. He praying something like, "God, if it be thy will, restore this sister to health. However, let us accept thy will so that whether or not she receives her health, she will know that you are still close to her." Well, when the prayer ended, the old lady's eyes suddenly flashed open. She sat up. She startled the preacher by throwing her legs over the side of the bed. She stood up. She stretched out her arms. She turned around to face the astonished young minister and said, "You know, I feel better. I feel a great deal better. In fact, I feel like I've been healed." And with that, she bounded out of the room and headed down the hall toward the nurse's station, shouting, "I'm healed!" The young minister was astonished, but he managed to collect himself enough to stagger out of the ward, down the stairs, out the door of the hospital, and into the parking lot. And then as he stood beside his car, he looked up toward the heavens and said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." There are a lot of people who believe in God and yet miss the good news. Can't believe it when they see it. For them, God is always coming, but never quite here. God is always promising, but never delivering. God is always near at hand, but never quite in touch. But that's not really the way it is. God lives. God is here. And God is coming here. You can see it in the face of a newborn baby, in the gaze of young people deeply in love, in the eyes of older married couples for whom the light is as bright as ever. And you can see it within your own hearts when you take the time to look. Dear friends, God will accomplish God's purposes. The kingdom will come. The question for us then is, will we get an attitude? Will we be a part of the solution or continue to be a part of the problem? Will we be involved on the front line of the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes? Will we light a candle? Or will we curse the darkness? Get an attitude, people. for your own good, for the good of the world, and for the glory of God. Amen.